Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Well, good morning. This is Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. I am Dr. Michelle. I hope you all had a great, meaningful, and Lenten weekend. We're resetting our buttons constantly during this Lent. I know I am. I'm going to share with you some things that occurred to me this weekend, some little revelations I had during a half of a Mass. And I also want to talk about a certain prayer that I would like to introduce to you. It's very, very simple. But it's something that I think is really important for us and for you to keep on going, to recharge and reshape and change your life up just a bit. I want to talk today about who you are in other people, and who you are for other people, and who you are for yourself and to yourself. Have you given yourself away? Are you less of who you would like to be? Do you find yourself wanting to be the pleaser, the fixer, the rescuer? Do you find yourself always being the understanding one, not having the problem because everyone else has the problem? Do you find yourself trying to get things for you in ways that, if you really sat back, aren't really very honest? Have you ever found yourself setting up like a perfect painting, perfect landscape, a situation for your boyfriend or your husband to walk into so that the potential, the person that you really want to be there, flowers forth? You give them every possibility to become the man you want them to be, and they don't. But you don't understand what it is you're doing. And then sometimes then, in order to do this, you modify yourself over and over. Well, why is that? Why does that happen? Why is that so common? Why does it happen to young girls, old girls, 15, 60? Why does it happen to them? Where do they learn it? What is the cause of this? And how can we easily slip into thinking that we really are okay? That we really are the nice people. As the priest I always quote said, we walk around in novena clouds, or those you know walk around in novena clouds. And yet there's a little nudging inside. You're really kind of an angry old weed that wants to spring out. And a lot of that is the fight between the good and evil, the fight between our human nature, the fight between our predatorial nature, and the you know, eye for an eye type thing, on the good side and the bad side. And oftentimes we get that way because somebody came into our lives that took and was predatorial and kept changing the landscape, moving the stage. So we didn't know quite where to be, how to be. And in order to get through okay, we modified and modified and modified and modified and modified. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not functional, awesome, and have a good life. Doesn't mean that you're a bad parent. Doesn't mean that you're a bad girlfriend or boyfriend. Doesn't mean you're a bad wife. It just means that that gnawing inside, that insatiable hunger, that at once should be God's first, but that insatiable hunger keeps going. That need that doesn't get fulfilled. Now, we can say we need to have that only fulfilled by God, and that's true. What does that really mean, though? Does it mean that you're lonely and pathetic and awful and you just kind of cling on to this God guy that you've learned about? Or does it mean that there is a being in you that can be healed, but you have to get rid of those abscesses on your heart first? And they're there. And every time your heart beats, it causes that little abscess to flare up a little bit. And you need to go to that. That's why he's called the grand physician. That is why he's the divine physician. Those who, what does he say? Those who are well don't need a doctor. It's those who are sick. Well, that's true. It's totally true. And in more or less, we're all sick. Now, some of us got lucky in that little roll of the dice of life. Some of us got really lucky. Some of us had function. Function. They are the functional family. They are, you know, they're just the functional family. They have problems. And they have, they're not out of, they don't get taken out of statistics. They have somewhere in their life some kind of something, whether it's a mental illness, an addiction, an anger problem, a trauma that changes them up a bit. Maybe going off to war, seeing things that were just too much to deal with. All kinds of things, but more functional than others, where the eyes were turned first to God and then inward to the family. And you were loved and nurtured, and you were given your voice, and you were supported. You were corrected when needed to be. You were given that love and that flower and that water and that sunshine. And you were treasured and loved and protected like any precious thing. And it was all for you, which is the way in, just like God is all for us because we're his children, in the way that's how it should have been for us. Not spoiled, but it wasn't that way. We had to maneuver. You had to navigate. You had to figure out, oh, I step over here. Ah, that happens. Oh, well, maybe if I retreat over here, there'll be, it won't happen. That person won't yell or drink or be mean to my other siblings or go into my sister's room at night or whatever it is. Or maybe if I just pray enough or I do this and bad things still happen. God always allows these constantly. It's like a big rolling dust storm, big rolling storm. If you've ever, I have in the desert where you see them like for maybe 60, 70, 80 miles away, maybe 100 miles away. You see it like, it's like, it looks like the apocalypse. I mean, it's huge, this huge dust thing. And it just keeps, you just can't even tell what it is at first until it's right on you. And then you think, whoa, I better get shelter fast. That's what it's kind of like. God doesn't stop. So as your life rolls on, he's rolling on even bigger and more powerful around you too. So what I want to get to today is some very practical things on how to utilize where you are right now and reset a bunch of buttons. Lent helps us do this because it strips away. It strips away our pretenses and our distractions and our amazing, bigger you are, the harder you fall. The more successful you are, the more brain you have, brain power, let's say, the more intelligent you are, sometimes the harder you fall because you figure out all these different ways to make things okay. You may not be down in the street with a needle in your arm, but you might be down the street with a needle in your arm. And as I said at one point, I was going to talk about the heroin epidemic, which I never really got to last week. But believe me, Catholic University professors providing heroin to their students at a party and having down the line a few years go by and one of their students dead. Well, I know that because I know the situation. So it does happen. It happens everywhere. Now, it does happen a little less in the Catholic and more religious schools, which is great, but not a lot. It's big, powerful stuff. So you are not immune because you have a certain socioeconomic income. In fact, you're probably a really, really open target. It's very, it's there. There just is. There's no socioeconomic or class distinctions when it comes to things like heroin. So anyway, but we're still not going to get into it today because I really want to start this week off. We are coming into some home stretches here when it comes to Lent. And each step of the way, there's a Lent means spring. Lent means is renewal. It's time for rebirth. So this is the time when we renew and we renew and we renew. Now think about spring. Think about springtime. What happens? In springtime, there is solid ground, if you've lived in those places. Where I am right now, no, not so much. But there are seasons, and things come up at certain times of year, and things don't, and things stay dormant. But if you've anywhere where there's more seasonal changes, you know that the ground can be cold and harsh, and everything's gray and dull, and you see like a little thing. It starts out low inside. It's growing in that frozen, awful ground. And as it starts to thaw out, it gets to grow up a little bit. And it's not without its struggle. And it's not without its obstacle. We just don't see it. And as it starts to peek through the ground, maybe a snowstorm comes and wipes it out. But another one will come up. And after a while, there'll be a flower. And maybe, as happens in Kentucky, snowstorm wipes that out too. But what happens, that's like ourselves during this season. Our heart wanted so much. It gave and gave. Man, we fell back a little bit amid some obstacles. We're still breaking the ground here. So we come back from the break. We're going to talk about this and more. I am Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You can text me or email me. And you can text me by 573-4BREAD-4 or call 573-4BREAD-4. Or you can email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. See you after the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. We're walking this road together. You can call 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text at the same number. You can change your life by getting the app from iTunes. We have so many great things to choose from. And you just never know what you're going to learn and when you're going to learn it. This is where I go by. I kind of fly by the seat of my spiritual pants, so to speak. I never know when it's going to hit. And I wish I was more directed and wish I was more focused. But as I talked about before, I do have a little spiritual ADHD going on. I have a little bit of distractibility, and I'll say more than a little bit. Where I get something and it's just like, I might as well just be showering with neon lights and angels dancing and highlighting the sky and all kinds of stuff happening. And 1 second, oh, look over there. And it's completely out of my head. It's one of those things, I know you've experienced that, where it's like, wow, I'll never let this go. I will always remember it. And then I don't. But you know what? That's not a fault, because somewhere, and I don't know where, and you all can tell me if you know, please email me or text it over 573-4BREAD-4. There is a place where, and I just don't know where, I have absolutely no idea where Jesus actually talks about, I think it's in the New Testament anyway, not holding on to your spiritual blush, your spiritual revelation. Now you can talk about it and share it, but don't hold on to it, because that's, you needed it in that instant. It's almost like, right now, I need a glass of water. Well, you don't just keep it in your mouth. You know, you swallow it and you'll let it go through you. And it's not, you may remember it and how good it tasted, but you have to go on to the next thing. You can't just stay there and constantly sit there with a glass of water, because you would starve to death. So it is something that is, it's kind of a bittersweet, isn't it? It's like anything else, the good memories in life and some of the other things. They're there at once can be very powerful and be just as if they were right there happening in that moment. And at the other place, they're far, far away. They're just way out there somewhere. So we live in this constant life of paradox. So anyway, so here's what happened. This weekend, I've kind of been, you know, I'm talking about Lent and trying to get back to even the things I talk about. Every day every day I wake up, and it's not that I try to do it, I either remember it or I don't, but I've been actually spurring myself to remember to say, I praise your name. I praise you. I praise you. And every single thing you have done, every single thing in my life, everything my life has done and been. Not in I praise you and, oh yeah, but my life over here. I praise you. So that is something that even if I don't always feel it and get it, I do it. So I did that. Now, I haven't been as faithful with some things that I wanted to do, that I wanted to add into my life, that I wanted to decrease certain behaviors and increase other behaviors. So I decided to weave my way back to that church that is close to the neighborhood. It's not something I always went like way out of my way to go to a different church. I don't know why. It just didn't do it for me for some reason. And that's so stupid, but that's the way I was. And actually it's not stupid. It wasn't because of anything in the church. I just, for some reason, wasn't attracted to the outside of the church. I mean, it just, you know, there's no rhyme or reason for these things. And I sometimes really think you get what you need when you need it. So for some reason, I went to this other place for a while and I had a lot of amazing things occur there. And then this one just happened by, and now amazing things are happening here. So, you know, part of it just, I need to just be quiet about it and let it happen. So I decided to stop by. The church was empty. It was in the afternoon. They always have it open. And there's a little area where they do have the exposition on Fridays. And so it must not have been that day. It must not have been Friday because it wasn't. It was just there. There was just the little red candle knowing that he's there in the tabernacle. So there's a tabernacle. And as I'm kind of going in there, there's nobody else there, nobody. So I was walking around and thinking, oh gosh, just thinking of all the stuff I needed to do and I hadn't done. And the little door was open where they did confessions, but there were no confessions going on. And it was also the room of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So it was a very tiny little room. You saw the little confessional, but there was a huge, huge picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe. There were other Our Lady of Guadalupes. There were statues, and there was the Infant of Prague, and there was the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I mean, every symbol you can imagine. It was like on this little tiny space. I mean, this place was packed, this little tiny area. It was a little kneeler. And there were beautiful, I mean, just so many flowers, roses and roses and roses and roses. And then there were wildflowers and lilies and daisies and chrysanthemums and just an array. And rosaries here and rosaries there. And it was so delightful in its solemnity. There was such a delight and a joy and yet a solemnity. So many of the people that knelt down on that kneeler were putting those flowers there in praise, joy, and honor and love. And others were putting them there because they were desperate. They were desperate. They were losing their son. They were losing their daughter. They were losing their dignity. They were losing their life. They were losing all they knew. They missed their home. They were being beaten by their husbands. They were whatever was befalling them. So you could feel it all in that room. It's all is there. It's I'm here for all of you. And it was very, very beautiful. And it spurred me to take a few steps And since there was nobody there, I thought, I'm going to walk around, just going to walk. And I happened to notice they had the Stations of the Cross. And I'm, but I'm not feeling it again. You know, I got to feel it now for some reason, all of a sudden, even though I say all the time, you don't have to feel it, because the most spiritual things happened to me when I wasn't really in particularly looking for anything. I think that's when it usually does happen. That's when you're the most open, when you don't even look. That's when they say about falling in love, right? It's like when you're looking, 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 you never find it. And then one day you're backing up because you got to pick up the avocado that fell off the whatever, and you bump into somebody and you start to talk, and then you find out you're at, go to the same church or whatever it could be. And, you know, you hear these stories all the time. And then the rest is, of course, as they always say, history. So, so here I am, and I'm saying, I'm kind of walking around, and I'm thinking, you know, I do have this rosary. I found this great rosary that was kind of made from military cord, and I it was hanging in my car, and I thought, well, I'll get it out and I'll say it. So I was walking around, and didn't even, it'd been so long, I didn't even know what, how, all the mysteries that I was going to get. So I decided to just follow the stations and said my little rosary. And so that was that. So I said my rosary and left. And then when the next day came around, I had a pretty somber day. And I opened up a book and I found some things in that book that were disturbing to me. And I thought, well, they've got to be disturbing for a reason. They must be hitting a chord that I just don't want to see. And they were showing me things about behavior, about people. Then I could identify the people in my life that exhibited this exact behavior. And then I could see that in a very different level, if you just, I was almost like, you know, the top level of the water, and then the next level, and then you see the seaweed, and then you see the little shimmering dots of gold and glass and everything else in the sea. And then you might see some sharp little switches of little small little silvery fish. But then you get down to the deeper, deeper, deeper layers, and it gets a little bit murkier or a little bit deeper. You don't see quite as much going down there. What you see is bigger than what you saw up front, up top. And I started to see how I very much exhibited many of these same things. I mean, we're all people. And so we find ways to navigate our world in certain ways, ways I just didn't really want to see. And I'm thinking, oh, please don't tell me this. This is not something I want to know now. And I'm always arguing with God that way. It's like I say, oh, let me open me up so that I am healed. And we'll talk on the next break about the abscesses of the heart. We'll talk about those too. But I ask for that a lot. And yeah, unfortunately, well, not really unfortunately, because I do ask for it, but I get it. And it doesn't feel good. And a lot of times I realize that I have been quite talented at constructing all kinds of little ways in my heart and life that I don't see the very things that I start to do as well. And you look at it this way. When you are a person, or when you have been brought up, you were brought up in a situation in a household where you had to learn the dance of the household. And if the dance in the household was always like the hat dance, you know, where you're dancing around the hat, only it's not necessarily joyous, but you can never dance on the hat. And you can never say, that is the hat. You can just dance around it with your family members. You learn how to dance around things without really seeing and picking up the hard, cold truth. And so we're going to revisit that on the other side of the break. What's the hard, cold truth inside of you that you might need to be seeing? What are those abscesses on the heart? What is the prayer that I was given yesterday, which was really cool? I'll share all that with you on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Michelle.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Jesus, he drank wine, and I bet we did.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4-BREAD-4. 573-4-BREAD-4. You can text. You can call. You can email DM live at breadboxmedia.com. But get the iTunes app because you can download all archives. You can listen to this anytime you want. We are live every day, Monday through Friday, but you can listen to me or any of the contributors anytime you want. And it can be fun. It really can be. I get some great thoughts and great imagery from listening to the other people. All right. So before the break, I was going into my little experience this weekend and also talking about you and your life, because my life is not that different from yours. We may have done different things and gone different paths, but it's not so different. It's just more or less, but it is completely unique. And that's the beauty and the mystery, is when you're sitting in a group of people and you're all talking about stuff, you will find, if you just open your eyes and breathe and kind of look at the way that your spirit would look, doesn't matter who's sitting next to you, if they're filled with piercings and tattoos and they're 30 years younger than you, or 40 or 50 years younger than you, or they have thrift store hats with flowers on it and too much perfume and all kinds of coats and very neatly dressed, your spirit is going to connect. And it will have no age or no fashion. Your body is expressive. Your spirit also expresses, but it's different. So we are corporal beings housing non-corporal parts. That's all I can say. So all that to say, so get back to my real boots on the ground stuff. So to finish the story, I am walking around by myself, thank goodness. They have like a, actually rather large, I've seen churches as large as this little side area, and where they have the tabernacle, but it's all glass. So there's glass and it has a lot of pews. And then on the other side of the glass is the huge church, very big, with the altar. But it isn't separate exactly. The tabernacle is not front and center, which I like, but it's not there. But the big crucifix is. But it's all, the glass is there, and you see the tabernacle is quite large, and you can see it right there off to the right. So I'm walking around this church, and then I decide to go through the big church, and I'm going through the stations, and I'm saying the rosary, and I'm really not feeling it much. But I tried to go and use the stations for the mysteries, for the sorrowful mysteries. And I go. And I thought, you know what, you better go to Mass. This was yesterday. And I was finding all the reasons actually not to go. Can you believe it? I am here on the Catholic station and I'm thinking, oh, I know I can't go. I have to do these other things because I have to get ready for my trip and I have to do these other things. And I can read scripture and it can all be awesome and it can all be cool. And that's what I need because I do not want to go to this particular place. I don't want to hear bad music. I want to just, I will be here. And then something said, just stop. You know, shh, be quiet, just go. And so here I am and I go and I'm a couple minutes late, thought that would be fine. And I can't find a parking place. So literally I am about 15 minutes late. And I thought, well, we're going to be way into the Mass by then. Turns out there was someone who is evidently very world famous and actually was very familiar with and knew Mother Teresa, was there giving a mission. And I wasn't quite sure of that until later. And it was great the way it all worked out because here was this guy who really had a wonderful voice and a wonderful way of speaking. And I had no idea what he was talking about because I walked in and the place was packed. And so I was standing in the back, way back, right by the entry door. And So all I heard was the word intention. And then I heard some other stuff. And then he talked about being there at 7 o'clock at night. But he stirred me for some reason. And I asked the person next to me, who is that? And they didn't know. I asked somebody else. And then all of a sudden this priest walks in and he stands there too. I mean, he's walking in the back and he's standing there listening. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. So I walked over to him and I said, in the middle of everything, and said, who is that guy? And so he told me. And I talked actually for a couple minutes, and he went in and just sat with the rest of the people in a pew. And the word intention started ringing to me. And I started this prayer: God, make me an intentional woman. God, make me an intentional woman. Make me an intentional woman. And I just kept feeling that over and over. God, make me an intentional woman. And as I'm not understanding what that is even meaning to me, I'm at another place understanding. I'm keeping part of my brain, without knowing it, occupied with the God, make me an intentional woman. And out over here, internally, is bubbling up all the times where it's showing me in pictures how I'm not an intentional woman. I may live in a body that's intentional, that went to school and studied and gave up all kinds of stuff and raised a family and went through hardships and knows how to do this and knows how to do that and can pay my bills or to do whatever I need to do. But I'm not really. And I started seeing how I've given myself away. I've given myself away to other people. I've given my soul and my dignity and my focus and my gifts, I've given them to those as ransom for love, for my own love, for my own lack of knowing what that meant, for knowing that my parents, who I love, for whatever reason, we're not going to go there. But there was a lot of damage that occurred in my family. Lots of damage. I can go back on the one side, and that's what gets us hung up. I can understand it. I can see it and think, oh my gosh. And of course they did the best that they could. But sometimes the best, when you do the best you can and it damages. And I in turn did the best I could with the little bit that I had, because I left so early. It wasn't just that I wasn't hatched. I wasn't even out of the chicken yet, you know, and I left and tried to navigate life on my own, thinking, not even knowing what I was thinking, just doing it. And of course, at 14 years of age, you just really don't have a handle on things or a grip on things. And so you know that there's a reason God takes this stuff and he gives you this for a reason, and you live a certain way for a reason. And if somehow there's, you know, like out of all the weeds in the garden, there's one that springs up. And the only reason I say weed is because they grow fast, but there's no difference between, to me, a dandelion's a gorgeous flower. So I don't know why that's a bad thing. And it's also nutritious, so I don't know why it's a bad thing. So the point of this is that I realized, or I don't even know if I realized, but I saw before my eyes, my internal eyes, my heart's eyes. I saw a picture of a bay scallop. I know this sounds, we're getting toward the break and now I'm talking about seafood, but I saw a picture of a bay scallop. I've never seen this. I've lived around water my whole life in one way or form or another. I've always missed the ocean when I was inland. But when I was inland, I was around rivers and things. So here's a bay scallop. And I've seen bay scallop. I've eaten bay scallops. And here's a picture of it in this nature website. And it looks so bizarre. It looks like something some science fiction writer would paint. It had all these little bright blue eyes. Beautiful. Little round, little bright. I didn't even think they were real. I thought that was a joke. I thought it was Photoshopped. So I put these little bright marbles or little bright beads in there. But no, they have all these little eyes. And what are those little eyes for? It's so that reflects. Each one of them can reflect all kinds of little tiny lights under the water so that it can get the nourishment it needs. It can see the little fish over here and the little fish over there but reflect enough of the light off the fish so it reflects back into the eyes of the scallop, all those millions of little eyes. So that's kind of what's in your heart. It's what's in you. You have that ability. It's the God. It's your radar, but you don't know what to do with it. And there are periods of time that God will reveal itself to you, but you have to ask God to make you an intentional woman. Make you an intentional woman. Now, we're going to talk about that more and develop it on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you're walking this road with me, Dr. Michelle, live every day. We're live 573-4BREAD-4. Text or call. And if you call, you can give you can be anonymous. You can also have the person who answers the phone just instant message me. So that all works out great. Or you can actually text. So it kind of bypasses the middle person. And then also, you can email anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. And I cannot say it enough. We are not meant to supplant any kind of medical or psychiatric treatment or diagnosis because we all are finite beings. I was talking to someone today whose father died, the father had brain cancer. We all prayed for him, actually. I think I asked you all a while back to do that. And he went through periods of depression and giving up, he continued and didn't give up, and he rallied and he rose, and it was beautiful to kind of see this in little bits and pieces as it unfolded. And I didn't know that much of the story, but it was a very it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. What I want to say about that, though, is that in those moments, you know, we have to, it's very difficult. The brain is the brain, and it really is an organ, and it houses a lot of the ethereal, and it can affect a lot of the ethereal. And if it's damaged too much, a lot of odd things can come out. I mean, the person with Tic de la Rue does not necessarily just want to swear all the time. Why in the world do they just automatically come out with cuss words? I don't know. But the fact is they do, and it's a misfiring of the brain, and it's not because they have any awful thing inside of them or did anything bad. So, you know, I want to kind of give, kind of, we're in our last segment, but I want to take a little aside that it's very difficult. And when you're in it, you will understand what I mean. When the person you know and love, or you don't know and love, is in front of you, and they've got a problem that affects their brain, and they're behaving a certain way, you can't help but think that they have intention behind their behavior. And oftentimes they do not have an intention behind their behavior. Someone with Parkinson's, by definition, 99.99999% of the time, will suffer from depression. And it's not because they have intention and think, oh my gosh, look at my life. Isn't it depressing? No, the biochemistry of the brain, the neurotransmitters are slowing down. They get a certain kind of look to their face, a certain kind of shuffle to their gait. It's all a neurological problem. So the brain, something happens in the brain. Someone has a brain tumor. I've known people who have all of a sudden gone to years of therapy, 2 or 3 years, and the shocking the family with all these things that are being revealed to them supposedly. And who knows? I don't even know if they're true or not true. But they really think they're getting somewhere in therapy, and then things don't seem quite right to the family. And then someone just raises a question out of the blue. Has anyone ever scanned their brain to find out they have a brain tumor? Now, it doesn't mean that that stuff didn't happen and they hadn't suppressed it and it's coming out. That just means that sometimes we see behavioral changes before we understand the physiology. So here you get someone who has brain cancer and getting radiation and other treatments targeted to the growth in the brain, and they are depressed and they do give up because they really feel it. You give someone pain medication enough days because, let's say, they got their foot mangled in a tractor. And then they start to get depressed because they're depressants. They can work on the brain that way. So all I'm saying is, let's give a little homage to the fact that we're finite and we do break down, and think about that. Put that in your consideration sometimes, especially as you have aging parents too. You may have a parent that is just, you know, you think, well, it's just like they've always been, only 1,000 times worse. Well, in some ways that can be very true. I've heard people say that to me, you know, but they still are trying to, as their parent is in pretty late stage dementia, putting attention, attributing intention to their action. And that isn't what is happening, actually. And they have to take a breath and give up because they're going to frustrate the heck out of their own life. So for you, we're going to reverse this now. God, make me an intentional woman. I don't know why I want to keep messing that word up. Make me an intentional woman. And that means I want my intention. I want my eyes on you. I want my intention to be you first and let you put your oxygen mask on me. I'm your child. Remember in the airplane when I tell you, you got to put the oxygen mask on you first, then you got to worry about the rest of your people. So this is a trickle-down theory here. So God's the oxygen. It's got to go on you first. But you recognize he's the oxygen and you need to breathe him in and let him deliver it to your cells. And we talked about the abscesses on the heart. This is one thing that was coming to me as I was watching people go up to confession, not confession, but to communion. And I was thinking about the divine physician, and I was seeing in my own heart, I mean, it was like a vision, like those little eyeballs on the scallop. Only now that I'm just looking at it as a picture. The reason I mentioned the scallop was to say that we have these little tiny things that seem really out of the ordinary. They are extraordinary. And they're not something that we're familiar with. I don't have 1,000 eyes on the little parts of my shell, you know, looking at, like, I have the 2 eyes I have. And it's something else that seems really odd, I'm sure, if they thought about it. But inside you have eyes, the eye inside. The eye, you know, the you just do. You have an ability to see, even though you're blind. And sometimes we blind ourselves to reality. So in my heart, I'm sitting there watching these people, and then all of a sudden I get this picture. I told you a couple of weeks ago about finding that rock that was like the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I know I'm like trying to cram it all here on the end, so I'm a free floater today. But I saw the picture of, like, these abscesses that had actual people in them. They were infective in their own right because for whatever reason that had been in an unhealthy attachment, an unhealthy implantation inside of me, for whatever reason, it was there. And I knew that I had to have God pierce those. They had to be relieved. They had to be gone. And an abscess is something the body does out of protection. That's what an abscess is. An abscess, a germ. The medical definition and explanation for an abscess, some germ you cannot see gets in your bloodstream, and it gets somewhere where it settles someplace. And you can't see it, but your body goes, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? And then your body sends out little things to get rid of it. But you don't see those either. Nothing. And then all of a sudden, there's a battle. Germ. Immune system. Germ. Immune system. Lymph. No. Yes. Chemicals to dissolve. Chemicals to dissolve the invader. Well, the invader has its own chemicals to dissolve you. And then pretty soon you get something that goes, we better wall this thing off. You know how you do in your heart, metaphorically. You wall it off. You wall off the pain. You wall off the invader. And you do it in some way. And if you do it good enough with the actual abscess, you won't feel it anymore. But there's inflammation. And if it gets nudged or hurt or pricked or something, it hurts. So you wall it off even more. Because if you don't wall it off, it starts to seek its own level. It starts dissolving all the tissue around it. And it starts to spread. And it may not hurt, but it dissolves. You know that inside. You get that one little boil inside and you just can't take it anymore. And somehow you mess it up or it gets hit and it pops and it spreads inside. And then you really got trouble. So the whole point was to see that on your heart, the things that prevent you from beating completely and without pain is that you still got these little areas that need to be healed. And you go up and you ask God to heal that. And the only way you can do that is say, make me a woman of intention so that my intention is not to just behave in these random ways or behave so that I can keep those abscesses from being hurt. Make me a woman of intention so that my intention is to keep my eyes on you, to move with intention and not for some random way where I've lost my way, but regain my strength, regain my health, and regain my focus in you. And the only way right now I'm seeing that that's going to happen, I was going to say probably, but going to happen, is I have to submit myself to you and say, oh, I don't want you to touch that. I know it's going to hurt. It's fine the way it is. Leave it alone. But he's got to do it. And he's got to get that boil, that abscess relieved. And it might make you scream inside or outside, but you got to do it in order to be healed. So this is walking. This is our road. This is our road. We're walking together. I'm Dr. Michelle. We're going to keep on this road tomorrow. Remember, God make me an intentional woman. This is Dr. Michelle. We will see you tomorrow. God bless.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.